over to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Psalm 119 and verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, Father, again, we thank you for the Word of God today, and I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing this morning. Help me to teach the message in a way that would make a difference. And, Lord, we know that nobody can make a difference if you don't do your work. So we ask you to work through your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, when we look at this psalm, I wanted you to look at this, and I kind of wanted to focus on this. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm if you take the time and read it and go through it. But this one section, this 8-verse section that we have here, that is there, and once again, Psalm 119 corresponds to the Hebrew alphabet. I should say the ancient Hebrew alphabet, because it's changed some over the years. But the Hebrew alphabet and each verse actually starts with that word, with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet when we look at this. And so these 8 verses that we have here, they focus on something that starts out in the beginning. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all through the day." And so it starts out with the understanding of loving God's word, loving God's law, loving his commandments. So often when we look at the commandments of God, we look at the idea of, okay, God's given us these commandments, and if we don't keep them, we're in trouble. But there's another way to look at that. It's not just a matter of if you don't keep them, there's consequences. But if you do keep them, there's benefits, there's blessings. There's something about them. There's a benefit. They're worthwhile. They're not just something to be feared in the sense of fearing the consequences of not keeping them. There's also the blessings of keeping them and the work that God does in a life and in a heart. And we ought to have when something is a great benefit to you, and this is the amazing thing about the Word of God, when something is has a great consequence to it, it brings fear. It brings fear, right? I mean, you don't do certain things, especially, or if you do, you try to hide them from the world because there are consequences to them, right? When we talk about the police, if you're going to steal, most people do their stealing when folks aren't looking. Why? Because they don't want to get caught. Why? Because there's a consequence. And then most people that are kept honest in society, they don't steal because there's a consequence. There's fear. But here we have somebody who says, oh, how I love thy law. And he begins talking about the benefits. And God talks quite a bit about the benefits, the blessings. And, you know, we start out with fear. But when you get into the Word of God, then it becomes something that is, once it becomes a blessing to you, the fear turns to reverence, which is a different types of fear. It's a reverence for God. It's looking at His character and saying, God's just, He's holy. And that we see that the keeping of His Word, there are benefits. And then reverence turns to love. Once you become the partaker of the benefit, it turns to love. Once you see the benefit, once you understand what God's Word is saying and what God, why God says what He says, then it becomes to say, hey, God put these in place because He loves me. He cares for me. He wants the best for me. And so when we look at that and we see the justice and we see all that thing, we see the consequences that brings fear, we see the justice that brings reverence, and then we see the benefit that we become recipients of the benefit and that brings love. And he says, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. And then he goes on and lists a bunch of benefits and things that he's had. He says, through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. God himself taught me. And then he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So we look at all of that passage of Scripture, and he lists all these benefits, and he lists the things that have happened, and he goes to the point of God teaching him. And this is something that you and I have to come to grips with at some point in our professed Christian life that we have. Do we ever get to a point to where we can say, I have been taught of God? God has taught me. I am learning. And that's a question for you. In your Bible reading, are you actually learning? Are you growing in wisdom? Are you growing in understanding? Is at any point it coming together for you? Now, the truth be told, most people just, and I would say possibly even a majority of professing Christians, just pretty much discount God's Word altogether. Or they pick and choose the parts they like. It's very hard to learn when you decide that you get to pick and choose what's important. Hard to do that. When you go to school, they don't let you pick and choose, do they? Oh, you may have a few things that are called electives that you get to choose, say, hey, I'd like to study this or I'd like to study that. And that's all fine and good. But when it comes to the core curriculum, they do not let you choose. Do they? And if you just let kids choose what they wanted to learn, what happens? disaster. Nobody learns anything. And we could talk at length at the education system and everything like that. But the reality is, we have gotten away from enforcing what's necessary, giving people the tools to continue to learn and grow. That's really what schooling's about. Schooling is to give you the tools to continue to educate yourself. And we've got away from all that. But that's a whole different subject than the child deciding what it is they want to learn. If you really want to educate somebody, if you really want their education to have a benefit, then you have to say, this is what's important, this is what you will learn. You will learn to read. You will learn math. You will learn history. You will learn these things. These are things you must learn. These are things you must understand. This is the baseline. This is what's important. Now, if mankind can understand the importance of non-negotiable things, why can't we understand that as Christians? And my whole point this morning in asking you this morning is, what are you learning? I mean, we're looking here and David is saying, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. David had plenty of enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I kept thy precepts. If you look at David, David was somebody who knew the Lord in such a way that even as a youth, he walked with God, and he had more understanding than many of the people that were over him. He had a relationship with God. When he went up against Goliath, he showed more spiritual understanding than anybody that was there. Didn't he? What about Joseph? Joseph had more understanding than even his father did at that time. We look at it and we can find people in the scriptures. And David was that way, and he got to the point where he not only saw the benefit, but that became something that was sweet to him, something that he loved. God's word, he loved it. And so I ask again, what about you? What about me? What do? We look at the Word of God. Are you learning? Are you still growing? Or do you get anything out of God's Word at all? Or are you being taught by God? David said, I have teachers, but God's taught me more than any of them. He said, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Are you being taught of God? And if not, why not? Are you learning? If not, why not? Are you growing? If not, why not? What's the problem? Well, there can be several different things that we could look at. For example, if you want to turn with me over to the first thing we have to pay attention to is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right. You have what's called the natural man. We have a lot of a lot of things that are bandied about. For example, we talk about the natural, we talk about the supernatural, and all this type of stuff like that. Well, there really isn't a quote supernatural. That is a term that man has coined. All right. When the Bible says, if we were to look at everything, what's really and truly natural is what God set in order. That's natural. And it's been corrupted by sin. So now the natural state of man is being unregenerate, right? Not born again, not saved. All right? And so it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So it's not natural or supernatural. It's either natural or spiritual. There's the proper designation, natural or spiritual. See, the devil, though he be a spirit, is not spiritual. You, though you have a spirit, when you're born, are still spiritually dead and natural. You are not spiritual. So here's the first question of the whole thing about when we look at this thing. If you're not learning anything from the Word of God, if you're not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, if you're not becoming what you're supposed to be as a Christian, what is the problem? Is the problem that you're the natural man? And a good indicator of this is you hear the preaching of the Word of God and you read the Bible and you see the things that are written therein, and you count it as foolish. Is it foolishness? And the world's like that, aren't they? They're like that. You talk about the Bible, that's just stupid. Oh, that's backwards. That's old. That's old-fashioned. That's backwards. That's but no, it's really not. It's far advanced of anything that mankind has. It's far more advanced. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness of them. That's why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that believe not. It's foolishness. Then it says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged from no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's talking about the indwelling of the Spirit. And so that's the first thing when you talk about if you're not growing up in the Lord. The first thing would be, are you saved? Are you still natural, or are you spiritual? Have you been born again? Have you been born of the Spirit? That's extremely important. Obviously, that's the first thing. And so, you know, you say, well, are you trying to get me to doubt my salvation? No, I'm trying to do exactly what the book of 1 Corinthians says. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Examine yourself. You know, it's a good thing to do that. Take the time to do that. If you got a question about your salvation, you know, if you're always questioning your salvation and you're never growing up in the Lord, then maybe you need to be saved. Maybe that's the problem. It's just something to think about. And granted, you could use that term, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You could use it in terms of, are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? But if you did, if you began to see God's word as it is, you first started with it with fear because you feared the judgment of God and the commandments, and then you saw the benefit of that, and that, and you saw, began to understand how God, how that focuses into God's love for us, that He gives us commandments that are actually to our benefit, to and the blessing. And then, and that becomes, that fear becomes reverence, and then you become a partaker of the benefit in you, and you benefit from the Word of God and the keeping of it in your life, and you go and you fail and you get up and you walk God's way, and then you find out, hey, God's way's right after all. I was listening to a lie, and this is the better way to live, and this is what's good, and there's. And then you get the benefit, then that turns to love because you don't understand how God loves you. But it's a continual thing. But if you're never getting there, then why not? What's the problem? And if you look at the Word of God and you hear it, and it's like, that's foolishness. I don't believe what God says about men. I don't believe what God says, the Bible says about women. I don't believe what God says about family. I don't believe what God says about government. I don't believe. It's just foolishness. Maybe you need to get saved. It's just something to think about. But then there's another thing that we have to understand. If you go to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, God is using the Apostle Paul to teach us some lessons. And he says this in Romans chapter 7, he says this, he's talking about verse 14. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And he goes on and talks about that. And finally, in verse 21, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He's talking about the sin nature that we fight against. And he says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's saying that, hey, I'm carnal. My body is not redeemed yet, so I still have to deal with the consequences of sin in my body, and I have to deal with the temptations and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I have to deal with that, and I have to do something about it. And even though I would do good, evil's present with me. So what do? He said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My focus on the inside is the law of God. And he says, so what I do is with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, even though my flesh is still subject to the law of sin. My body is not redeemed, but my spirit is redeemed. So the other problem you have then is being not unregenerate, but being carnal. If you look at Romans chapter 8, he says in verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't have God's Spirit dwelling in you, you're the natural man, and therefore you don't belong to God. And it's no wonder that the Word of God is foolishness to you. But you can indeed be a carnal man. You can be a person whose focus is on the flesh. Right? And it's very easy to do that. All you have to do is get good and hungry. And most people, when they get hungry, they focus on the flesh, right? That's a natural thing. You know, they've even got a term for it now. They call it, I'm hangry. They mix hungry and angry together, right? I'm hungry. I want to eat now. Because it's a powerful thing, isn't it? Our bodies need food. But just because you're hungry and very hungry doesn't mean you have the right to be ugly, does it? No, sure doesn't. But if you get hungry and then you're just mean because you're hungry, that's carnal, isn't it? And we laugh about it because it's where we live. It's what we deal with. But as a Christian, we're supposed to be not carnal, but spiritual. If you're born again, you're not natural, you're spiritual. If you're not born again, you're natural, you're lost, you're on your way to hell. The flesh is all you have. You live according to the dictates of the flesh. But as a Christian, we don't have to live that way. And one of the indicators of whether or not we are in the Spirit is whether or not we continue to grow up in God's Word. Do you? Are you learning from the Bible? And if you're not learning anything from the Bible, it's one of, like I said, there's only two choices here. If you're not learning, it's either you're the natural man or you're living as a carnal man and not spiritual. You're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. That's the choice. And so when we look at the Word of God, we go back to Psalm 119, we go look at that and he says, oh, how I love thy law, it's my meditation all the day. When you love something, it occupies your time. You know, Sister Denise, I love her. I love spending time with her. I like being with her. When you love something, it occupies your time, doesn't it? You invest time in it. And when you love something, there's a benefit. And when you love the Word of God, there's a benefit. Look what he says, that to thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I'm tempted all the time, but there's a right way to live. And I've seen the benefit. And so I'm going to keep his word. I'm not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. God has taught me what's right, what's wrong, what's best. So I'm going to stay there. And so I ask you this question once again. Are you learning from God's Word? Are you learning from God's Word? And if you're not, you have to answer the question in your own heart. Why not? You know, when we examine ourselves the way we should, there should become a good result. We should learn what to do about it. If you go and you examine something properly, you learn what's deficient. And you learn what needs to be fixed, or what needs to be changed, or what needs to be replaced. All right? You might learn what's been damaged. You learn what to throw away. You learn what to cling to, what to hold on to. You know, I'm going to, Lord willing, once we get past the winter and get toward the spring, and I've got a lot of projects I've got planned, and one of them I'm going to work on repairing my chicken coop, maybe making it a little better and a little sturdier and a little different things like that. So I've got it's been there for, oh, I don't know how many years it's been there. We've been using it. Probably, has it been there? Probably 10 years, at least. I've been using the same chicken coop. After 10 years, things, wood rots, things deteriorate, wire and the it rusts, right? Gets bad. So I've got to examine it. I've got to look at it. I've got to find out what's good, what can still be used, what needs to be replaced, what's damaged. And if I want to expand it, how do I do that? What do I have to add to make it, the expansion, work? So if I look at that project, I look at this, I see things that need to be repaired. I see things that need to be thrown away. I see things that need to be replaced. Why can't we do that with our lives? And that is exactly what God's Word enables us to do if we approach it properly. When we look at the Bible, we should be able to see things in our life that need to be discarded, that are no good. We should be able to see things in our life that need to be repaired. We should be able to see things in our life that need to be replaced. And you know what? The amazing thing about it is, and Brother Donnie, you can speak to this, everybody in this room, when you start a project, and you see it through completion, and it's successful, does that not bring some satisfaction? Sure it does. When you do something, when you put the effort and the labor, it brings satisfaction. You know, if you and I would approach God's Word with the right heart attitude, and as spiritual people, we would have a lot of satisfaction on what God has done. You read Psalm 119, particularly this chapter, he looks pretty satisfied. He sounds satisfied, doesn't he? He's happy about what he's got. He's got better understanding than his teachers. He's got better understanding than the ancients. He's got better understanding than his enemies. There's a lot of satisfaction in there. And that's a normal and proper thing to do, is have satisfaction in a job well done, in something fixed, in something repaired. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross and shed His blood, not just to keep us out of hell, but to fix what was broke, to change us. That's the whole point. I believe it's in the book of Luke. I think I'm just this just popped in my head when we talked about this. Let's see if I can find what I'm talking about. I believe it was about John the Baptist, and let me double check that. This just popped in my head. I may be off base here, but let me go find it real quick to close this out. But let's see. Yep. It says, talk about Luke chapter 1, verse 17, talking about John the Baptist. And he should go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that focus of wisdom and understanding is talking about the wisdom of the just, that which is right, that which is good, that which is holy. And that's the whole point. That ought to be our pursuit. That we ought to have that type of wisdom. Just something that just kind of stuck in my head when I was just popped in my head there. But you know, you go all the way back even to the preparation of the coming of the Lord, where John the Baptist went before him. There was a focus. There was a goal, wasn't there? But we can't. What he had to do was the people had to get their minds off of whatever was going on in their life, the Roman occupation and everything else, and focus on what was more important. What was that? That the Messiah was coming. And God wants us to focus on that which is most important. And that is allowing God's Word to do the work that He wants it to do. And if it's not doing the work, there's only two choices. Natural or carnal. Carnal person is somebody who lives as a natural man, even though they themselves may be spiritual, may be born again. Your choice, your idea, but we have to examine ourselves sometimes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the lesson today. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and I just pray you'd bless each one. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to be spiritual, and Lord, to delight in the law of the Lord, to love it, to love you. Thank you, Father, for all you've given, and thank you, Lord, for this day and each person that's here. Just pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.